We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is Duck Insider.
Duck's going to pick it up, and here we go.
Chuck,
the Pac-12 champion.
Omarui for three. Yes!
Oh, and a steal and slam for Williams.
Duarte to the basket.
The slam.
For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Outright champ.
Holy three. Goal! Hey, holy ball!
Left wing. Pow-pow.
Yeah, boom-boom.
Regular season champions. And now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Happy New Year, everybody. I think that we can all hope that 2021 gets off to a good start. Unfortunately for Oregon football, didn't get off to as good of a start as we would have liked. For Oregon basketball, though, a lot of good things are a-brewing. We'll tell you all about that. Thanks for joining us today. We'll take your Facebook comments and questions as we look back on the year that was for Oregon football, and then we will look ahead for Oregon football as well. I'm Joey Mack. Thanks for joining us. I hope that everybody enjoyed a holiday break as best they could and safely, of course. And, you know, I got to say, the Fiesta Bowl, I was really looking forward to it. I think that every Duck fan was, because it was like, man, if a down year for Oregon football is that you're playing in the Fiesta Bowl, that's pretty good. I mean, 25 years ago, if I said a down year is playing in the Fiesta Bowl, if I had said a down year was playing in the Fiesta Bowl before Joey Harrington's Ducks played Colorado in the Fiesta Bowl, what would you all have said? Y'all would have been like, yeah, we'll take it.
I like it.
We will sign up for that. So we're going to talk about that. I think that it's important to have some context. But look, it did not go as well as Oregon would like, and I think there have certainly been some lessons learned, as Coach Cristobal said postgame. Now, I know that listening to what the coaches have to say and what the players have to say after a loss isn't near as fun, but it is the last time that we're going to hear from the Pac-12 champion. So we have a lot of post-game interviews for you, a lot of the greatest hits, if you will, of the post-game comments. And to be honest with you, I know that the quarterback battle didn't go as well like we thought it would, but man, Tyler Shuck absolutely won his press conference post-game. That's a tough situation for Tyler. Playing in Arizona in front of his family, first time as a starting quarterback in college, and then he doesn't perform as well as he would have liked. Anthony Brown gets some run with the hot hand. Tyler Shough answered these questions very, very well. He answered them really, really well. But now the question, of course, becomes, who is the starting quarterback for the Ducks moving forward? That's going to be the question of the offseason. And it's going to be the question, I think, that a lot of people will ask. But look, this is a learning experience for Oregon, for sure. Which, and I will still say, is the youngest team in the nation. 74% of the roster is underclassmen. That's the most in the country. It's the youngest team in the country. Some of your Facebook comments and questions, though. Look, it didn't go according to plan. We know that. But, hey, new season is going to be upon us. And you know what's even crazier? We don't know exactly what spring football is going to look like, right? Like, we don't know what spring football is going to look like or when spring football will begin. Now, I can tell you that the team is now getting a much-deserved break. Classes, for the most part, about like 99% of classes at Oregon are still happening remotely. So they're going to get a little bit of time at home with their families and working on school remotely as the new term here at Oregon, winter term, gets underway today. But, yeah, we'll look forward to a new season. The opening drive, though, went great, didn't it? I think Oregon, you know, Tyler Shough goes 3 for 3 on the opening drive. And, you know, I think a lot of Duck fans like myself are kind of going, oh, okay, offense is here. But then Anthony Brown was great. Drove the team 98 yards. 98 yards. It felt like the Ducks had some momentum there. And then really I thought that this game was in a lot of ways the microcosm of Oregon's 2020 season, where the offense is clicking, but the defense wasn't clicking. Had a hard time getting off the field. And give Iowa State credit. That's a good team. That's a really good team. And well coached, I think. Matt Campbell, I've always really liked what Matt Campbell's done with Iowa State. But the Ducks finally then got the defense going, and that was when the offense sputtered a bit. You know, we've heard that before, right? I think the consistency of Oregon putting together an offense and a defense, that was what Oregon missed this year. And I think that's the youth more than anything. Consistency usually comes with experience in sports, not just in football, well, really with anything. But seriously, it really felt like the microcosm of Oregon season. And then special teams let Oregon down. You know, I felt like you always talk about with special teams that if you talk about special teams post-game, unless it was a game-winning field goal, something probably went wrong. You know, special teams are supposed to be like you just do your job, you're solid. But Oregon's depth was really, really a challenge on special teams. There's a reason that Cale Millen was in on special teams, right? I mean, that's where Oregon is in this year of attrition with the depth of this team. But special teams, I think, is certainly something that Oregon's going to want to improve moving forward. Because, you know, you talk about how there's three aspects to football, right? It's offense, defense, and special teams. And, yeah, that's a coach would probably tell you, well, yeah, they're all three are equally important. I think most fans are like, you need an offense. You can't win games if you can't score points. Then you need a defense, got to keep the other team out of the end zone, and then special teams just do your job. Well, unfortunately, I thought that Iowa State got the better of Oregon in the special teams battle, and that coupled with Oregon turning the ball over. That's what happened in this game, and that really was, to me, the microcosm of the season. So there you go. I mean, that's my amateur analysis of what happened. Scott Phillip, thank you. Yeah, that's great. Happy New Year to you too, Scott. You know, and the Ducks did not convert on a third down. I think that just tells you the team that was so efficient converting on third down the first three games of the year, you know, that it's hard to win games like that. So it didn't go as planned. Youngest team in the country, now you look ahead to 2021. And Mario Cristobal did that a little bit. He talked to the media, and you can imagine, Coach Cristobal was disappointed. But I think you got to be pretty proud of a team that dealt with some opt-outs and now with guys moving on to the next level, and we do have some announcements on that today. Jordan Scott, Hunter Campmore are moving on, wishing them the best. Jordan just posted on social media if you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour, about his decision and just what Oregon has meant to him, I encourage you to check it out. And then, you know, Daywood Davis announcing that he's going to transfer, D'Amador Lenore heading to the NFL, Nick Pickett heading to the NFL, and some other seniors, you know, we'll see. Wish those guys the best, joining the likes of Brady Breeze, Javon Holland, Thomas Graham, who have already declared and they're heading to the next level. The Ducks are going to have a ton of draft picks this year, a ton of draft picks. And that just tells you how successful Oregon has been. So now as you look ahead to that next year, I think it's guys like Kayvon Thibodeau. It's guys like Mikhail Wright. It's guys like Micah Pittman, some of which you're going to hear from. If not today, we'll have them for you tomorrow on the program. You know, there's a lot of strong leadership returning for this team moving forward. So we'll look ahead to the 2020 season throughout the course of this week. I should tell you what else is going on this week, though, shouldn't I? We have our first Tip-Off Tuesday Basketball Coaches Show coming at you tomorrow afternoon. You can watch the show live on the Oregon Sports Network Twitter, men's basketball, women's basketball, Facebook, and the Goducks YouTube page as well. We've got interviews with Coach Altman, Niara Sabali, and Coach Graves this week. Our first Tip-Off Tuesday coming at you tomorrow. 2:30, you can watch the show live and then tune in across the Oregon Sports Network on the radio side of things at 7 o'clock. And, of course, women's basketball with just a real classic of a game last night. I mean, that's a young team that was playing without Sedona Prince and Taylor Chavez and went toe-to-toe with a veteran UCLA team. And with that 9-0 run at the end, almost came back and beat them. I think that Oregon women's basketball is going to be just fine with Coach Graves and his extension. Congratulations to Coach Graves for his extension announced by the Ducks a couple weeks ago now. We'll talk with Lisa Peterson about that tomorrow. She's the senior women's administrator here at Oregon. She's going to be on the show tomorrow. And then, of course, we've got Oregon men's basketball. The Ducks, with Chris Duarte today earning Pac-12 Player of the Week honors, about 20 points per game, was stealing the basketball, dunking the basketball, and the Ducks are undefeated in Pac-12 play to open up the season. And now are number 19 in the first net rankings that were released today. The net ranking is the new version of the RPI. It's a measure of how teams do over the course of their season, and depending on schedule, where they win, if you win at home, if you lose at home, et cetera, et cetera. So the Ducks sitting at number 19, well, they're playing Colorado, who's sitting at number 14 in the first net rankings. That's coming up on Thursday, so we're going to talk with the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Jerry Allen, Mike Jorgensen, Terry Johns, we'll talk with them over the course of this week and beyond. Rob Mosley's going to join us on Wednesday as we get back on the air and we get back in the saddle. A couple of your questions. What's the status of backup QB Millen, Dave asks? Yeah, I think that Kale was just the ultimate team guy, saying, I'll play special teams, coach, if that's what it takes. Because Jay Butterfield has been taking most of the snaps with the threes this year. It's been Shuck, Brown, Butterfield, and that quarterback room is competitive, mind you. So I think that Kale just the ultimate team move, to be honest with you. And Will Richardson, Dave asking about Will Richardson. Yeah, if you missed the news but when the season got rolling, or if you're back getting now into basketball, Will Richardson had thumb surgery on December 2nd. Ducks said he'd miss about 6 weeks from that point. Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, if you get Will Richardson back by February and he's raring to go up to speed in February, that's good news for the Ducks. So I would assume over the next few weeks, a few more updates as Will heals up. Coach Altman's on the Coach's Show with us tomorrow. We'll ask him about that. And, of course, Infallidante. Losing Infallidante. Ducks are without two starters right now, and they're still top 20 in the country. Pretty impressive for Oregon men's basketball. Oh, it's a lot going on. Also today, the NCAA announced that in the city of Indianapolis and the surrounding area, that's where the majority, if not all, of the men's basketball tournament is going to be played. Wild times, man. Wild times. 2020 is over. Now we just got to make 2021 a good one. Mario Cristobal, we're going to hear from him next. Quick timeout, come back, Duck Insider. We're going to talk with Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, right after this. So stick with us. HCMC, as we call him. Head coach Mario Cristobal. Right after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Joey Mack, welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're inside the Country Financial Studio, second floor of the Casanova Center. Tip-off Tuesday, first basketball coaches show coming your way tomorrow. More info, goducks.com/radio. This is cool. Vincent, Sala's brother, shouting out on Facebook. Yeah, big number 71. Looking forward to next season. That's cool. To the entire family. That's awesome. Sala is a great guy, too. So, Vincent, thanks for tuning in. And we are looking forward to next year. Absolutely. Mario Cristobal is, too. And look, as you can imagine, Coach Cristobal was disappointed. And you'll hear it in his voice. But I think pretty proud of the way that his team performed through some adversity this year. Everybody has gone through some form of adversity this past year. I got to start saying this past year because it's 2021 now. Mario Cristobal, he met with the media for a little over 12 minutes after the Fiesta Bowl. It's the last time that we'll hear from Coach Cristobal for a while.
Mario, did you feel like it was hard for Tyler and Anthony to either get in or stay in a rhythm with rotating them? And how do you see the quarterback position this offseason?
No, we went into the game with the same type of packages for Anthony and short yardage and some 4-minute stuff. But we did determine that we were going to put him in the second quarter to play. And he developed a hot hand, so we stayed with a hot hand. That was what transpired, nothing else.
Yeah, Mario started to stick with the quarterbacks, but Tyler goes in and he just gets two handoff plays and he comes out with Shuck. How is it in that development? How are each quarterback expected to get a rhythm when they're coming in, coming out so often?
We did what we thought would give us the best chance to win, you know. And Tyler, the one series where he had those handoffs and he didn't get to throw it, sure, it's not in any way, shape, or form a way to judge him for what he did or what he didn't do. When Anthony went in, he was doing well, so we went with him. And that was the extent of the decision process. And later in the game, we felt we were going to get them back in or get Tyler back in so he can play some more. And we did at one point in time. I forget exactly when, but that was the quarterback rotation that was decided upon.
Coach, the 4th-and-3 call, down 14 towards the end of the third quarter. What went into the decision to punt instead of going for it?
Yeah, we thought the spot was going to give us a 4th-and-1.5, 1, 1.5, and it looked like a 3, like a long 3. And we felt that we could pin them deep and get the ball back. Felt that our defense was starting to get its feet underneath itself, and so we did.
Mario, 3rd down was not a good down for either side. 0-for-6 offensively, they were 11-for-19, also pretty good in fourth. Just what I guess, was there any trends there on those downs, or what did you see there?
Certainly, they out they outplayed us and they outcoached us on those on third down. They certainly did. That I think one of them was a two of them were actually turnovers, if I'm not mistaken. But we've been good on third down. We certainly got a lot better the last couple weeks at stopping opponents on third down. And we didn't tonight. They did a better job than we did.
Hey, Coach, I just wanted to get your overall thoughts on Tyler's performance today.
Mm-hmm. Thought he had some good moments, you know, looking at him statistically. 7 for 9, 79 yards, along a 20. Had the one pick at the end when we're trying to make something happen. Thought he did some good stuff. I thought Anthony did some good stuff as well. And we played both of them because we felt that they can both give us a chance to win the game. And there wasn't there was enough clarity to start Tyler, which is what we did. There was also enough of a good play by Anthony where we felt it merited him playing, and that's what we did.
Coach Greg Moore, Arizona Republic columnist. Mm-hmm. Good to see you. That was a tough loss. You guys didn't have fans there. Am I correct in that?
Today at the stadium, there were families there, yes, sir.
Okay, you had some families there. The reason I ask is it seems to me that the Fiesta Bowl was being responsible in severely limiting the number of people that could attend the game. And I'm curious your thoughts on being part of a game that is doing something that a lot of others kind of aren't willing to do in a concession to the pandemic.
Well, I think first and foremost, that was a promise to all student athletes in our conference, and I know nationally as well. So it's critically important. It's always going to be the priority and at the forefront of the decisions involving our student athletes playing during a pandemic.
Hey, Coach, so you touched on it there a little bit, but just big picture, obviously this was not how you wanted the season to end, but can you just take a moment to speak to what it took to get to this moment where you played in a New Year's Six and your team was able to get out there and play football in the middle of a pandemic?
Sure. We'll address it just like we did inside there. We addressed the game itself, which we were disappointed. We were disappointed by the way we played. We were disappointed by the way we coached and the result. That's not what we came here to do. We didn't come here to participate. We came here to win. Second thing we addressed was the season itself. Now, the fact that we were able, we were ready to play all, what were we now, 7 games and really for an 8th game because our guys did an unbelievable job with the protocol, the training staff, the athletic staff. The entire organization did a great job with that, and because of that, gave ourselves an opportunity to play for the conference title and get that win and come over here and play, and we're able to play again today. So there's a lot of a pride in doing that part. We just obviously, when you don't win the game, we don't take it as a consolation prize. A lot of guys in that locker room are hurt like we should be, and it's got to be used as fuel, knowing that it's a really good football team with a boatload of really good seniors. You know, reminds me a lot of the team that we had last year and how they found a way to make to execute and coach and do the things that they need to when the game was on the line. So when you take all those things into account, being able to play, being able to play safely, being able to get over here certainly is something that, you know, we take great pride in, just disappointing the result.
Mario, tough way to end the season, but there's so much to look forward to with this team. You've mentioned it many times this year about the youth of this squad. What excites you about going into next year about what this team can do with a full season under your belt?
Yeah, the off season is what we're excited about, the ability to develop from a strength and conditioning standpoint. So many guys played football for the first time as starters, the new offensive line, quarterbacks, couple wide receivers. The receivers, for the most part, were veterans. The linebackers, a couple guys that were banged up and didn't get to play. You know, I obviously know a play, but Justin Flo and the Dante Mannings of the world. You know, we expect Cam McCormick to be back really healthy. We're welcoming the best class that we've ever had in the history of our program as well. And 13 of those guys will be enrolling early, will be on our campus within a week or so. So, you got to be excited about the fact that as being the youngest team in the country, we still were able to win the conference and get to a New Year's Six game. But young or not, again, it's still going to be about winning it, you know. So a lot of good lessons learned, a lot to be excited about, and a lot of fuel that we can use in the offseason to get better.
Kind of touch on it there. What's your process is going to be for the next few weeks with the new guys on campus, letting the old guys, the guys that have been there, heal up? What's the next few weeks look like for your program?
Well, the first thing is meeting with the seniors and figuring out exactly what the next step for them is. You have to feed them the information that you get from the NFL Advisory Committee. Give them whatever opinion that they want to, whatever they want to dive into. If they want a firm opinion by us, our staff, we always give it to them. They've been great with that. So have the parents. So we do that so that they can make a decision as it best fits them and their future. The players will go home for about 2.5 weeks. We spent the holidays at in Eugene, so they never got a break. So they're going to go home while they do kick in classes on Monday, and that'll be via remote. And then our freshmen, our newcomers, some are already in town, and the rest come in next week. And they will come in, they will isolate for about 6-7 days, whatever it may be, test, and then they will begin the off-season program, which, again, is critical to our success going forward.
Mario, you mentioned special teams and the issues on, obviously, that led to the 2 turnovers. You said DJ wasn't at fault on that. USC took advantage of Kale on the onside kick. It seemed like Iowa State was trying to do the same by trying to basically put pressure on Kale to block. Why was DJ pulled if it wasn't his fault, and why was Kale staying on that unit when two teams had taken advantage of it?
Well, it's a different kick, right? The one to Kale was kicked to the front line over and behind them. This one was kicked to the ends, right? The one that went to DJ was with about 27, 28-yard line, and he was trying to field it. But with the ball going over his head, he was confused, and I think we were confusing him, but he was trying to field the ball. And we practiced fielding pooch kicks, because that's what they do. They squib them. They kick them to the ends. Sometimes they kick them deep. Sometimes they kick them short. Sometimes they kick them at the front line. And we had practiced a bunch of it, but we need to do a better job coaching him up, getting him ready for that situation.
Stick special teams and just ask you about the Mikhail Wright play as well, and kind of was he at fault there? Was that just a bad place, bad time thing where he gets blocked into it? Kind of how do you address that one?
Well, the returner, he's got his back to the returner because he's locked up with the guy in coverage, and the returner is yelling, you know, what the call word for them to know, hey, this is a situation where I'm now up on the ball, everyone out, everyone spread out so that there are no issues. And Mikhail being locked up with the opponent just didn't allow him to hear it, you know, because he was giving great effort on the play. What happens is when those punts are short and the returner's got to come up to field that ball, if the communication isn't clear enough, that happens. So all about communication.
Going into next year, I know we don't get to watch practice, so we don't know the competition at quarterback and how close it is, or if one guy stands out more than the other one. But in games, it looks like they're pretty even. Is this Tyler's job going into the offseason, or is it a full quarterback competition?
Well, after a game like this, with all the stuff that's going on with the seniors and the team and the things we have to attend to, we'll sit down and evaluate everything. But Tyler came in this year as a starter, and he started this game as well.
Right.
And he did a lot of good things out there. And we have tremendous confidence in him, and we're excited about Anthony as well. So a lot of different situations.
Right.
You know, and to talk about him, try to settle him now, there's no shot at doing that. Not even close. You got a guy that's a sophomore and a guy that's a senior. You've got guys that are granted extra years. There's a lot of moving parts to this thing as well, right? We got some good players on campus. We got an elite quarterback coming in. It's probably on campus right now. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, but we feel confident in the quarterback room.
Hey, Coach, regardless of any decision that could possibly be made, what's the legacy of a guy like Johnny Johnson III coming from Arizona? I'm a reporter down here, Washington playing the state championship and everything like that. 4 years, you know, could make any decision. But regardless of that, what do you feel like his legacy is?
Well, you got to realize, guys that came in with Johnny, they came to Oregon after Oregon had gone 4-8. So these guys were builders. They were guys that weren't afraid to kind of make their own footprints and not follow anybody else's footsteps. So he came in with a purpose and on a mission. And ever since he's been a freshman, he's been a starter, relentless grinder, tremendous leader, doing a great job in there right now with the guys that are hurting. And so Johnny is, you know, in my opinion, he's going to go down. He's one of my favorite players ever. But in terms of his legacy, there's a lot that goes with his legacy, you know, leaving as a guy that won back-to-back conference championships, a guy that was, you know, our leading receiver, you know, multiple times. Guy just does things the right way and certainly has a great future.
Coach, Iowa State doubled up the time of possession. As a head coach, what can you do better in order to prevent stuff like that and them dominating in the TOP?
Yeah, well, you know, the way they play football, similar to what we've seen over the years with Stanford, where if they can get you in third and manageable and third and short and keep moving the sticks, they're going to continue bleeding the clock. You know, they're going to snap the ball with anywhere from 10 to 3 seconds on the play clock, and time will get chewed up. And so I believe their first drive had gone about 12 plays. Their second drive was something similar. We scored quickly, and then we had a three and out, and then scored again. And what happens when you see that play count start to mount up, you have to give your defense a chance to catch its breath and get its legs underneath them by playing a little bit slower. We tried to do a little bit of that tonight, and we weren't very successful. So that's certainly one thing that I can do better as a head coach to help our defense when they're on the field that long.
There's a lot there from head coach Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, taking questions from the media following the Fiesta Bowl. And look, so who is the quarterback going to be moving forward? That's what the offseason's for. And we can all debate that for however many days there are until kickoff next year, because that's what's going to happen. I do want to follow up, though, on him talking about Johnny Johnson. I've had so much fun watching Johnny Johnson. Yeah, Johnny Yams. I've had so much fun watching him play football here at Oregon. So glad that he came to Oregon. We've had some great conversations with him over the years, and just wishing him nothing but the best. And that's going to be a tough decision for him. He's one of those guys that's going to be making the decision. Does he come back? Does he move on? We'll find out. I know a lot of people are going to want to hear from Tyler Shuck. You always want to hear from the quarterback. We're going to do that when we come back. Doug Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Back to the Country Financial Studio next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Toyota-thon is on. Now's the time to get a great deal on Highlander, RAV4, Tacoma, and more. And if my husband's listening, I'd like a red Camry, please. All-wheel drive.
Current offers end January 4th. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Toyota, let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Toyota-thon is on. Now's the time to get a great deal on Highlander, RAV4, Tacoma, and more.
And if my husband's listening, I'd like a red Camry, please.
All-wheel drive.
Current offers end January 4th. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Toyota, let's go places.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Joey Mack, welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're inside the Country Financial Studio, getting ready for tip-off Tuesday tomorrow, the first Oregon Basketball Coaches Show, and wrapping up and putting a bow on the 2020 Oregon football season, and now looking ahead to the offseason. I know a lot of people are wanting to hear from Tyler Shuck, no doubt. And look, regardless of who the starting quarterback is moving forward, the leadership of Tyler Shuck was on display in this post-game press conference, and you'll hear why here.
How do you feel like you – do you feel like you were put in a position to succeed tonight at the quarterback rotation from the beginning and then the drive in the second half when you come in for a couple of handoffs? It seemed like there's a lot of lack of continuity.
I can't answer that question. I'm just trying to do what I can – control what I can control, and whenever I'm in the game, just do my best.
Hey, Tyler, were you disappointed at all, that you didn't play as much, coming back here to Arizona where you're from and –
Yeah, of course I'm disappointed. We lost the game, so you're always going to be disappointed when you lose, and especially when you come back home. So a lot of people came out to watch, and definitely sorry for them, but it is what it is. It was a football game.
Tyler, what's going through your head on the sideline when you see Anthony play and then you have a chance to get back in and it sort of goes back and forth? What is your thought process through that?
Essentially just trying to control what I can control. Just know that when I'm in the game, I'm going to do the best I can to put the team in the best position to win. It's not up to me, but to who plays, but I can just control what I can control and then work my best.
Yeah, Tyler, Mario told us that a lot of this was riding the hot hand with Anthony and that the initial plan had been to kind of use him in goal line sets the same way you guys did against USC. I mean, when you're on the sideline, is it really drive to drive that they're telling you one's going in, one's going out, or do you know pregame that this was going to be the situation?
It was mainly drive to drive. And we had somewhat of an idea just because of we were splitting reps a little bit to create some competition and get some different looks. But wasn't sure what was going to happen. Obviously didn't know what was going to happen, but just did the best with what I could.
Tyler, what's your mindset going into the offseason? Obviously you were the starter all year, but now that looks like there's going to be competition, whether that's Brown or Ty or one of the other guys for the starting job next year.
My mindset is the same as every offseason. I got to keep being better. There's a whole lot to learn from this year. There's a lot of good stuff that we put on tape, but there's a whole category that we haven't tapped into. As far as myself, you know, me personally, I know what it takes now to get to that next level. I've kind of got my feet wet, as you say, and this team is hungry for more. You know, I'm hungrier than ever. This is only going to motivate me to be better.
Tyler, Greg Moore, Arizona Republic columnist, followed you for a while. I don't care what happened in this game, whether y'all won or lost or how many yards you threw for or didn't. Nobody will ever be able to take away from you that you played ball in your hometown ball game. You stepped out there and you did that. Now that you've had a chance to think about it a little bit, what's that mean to you?
Oh, it means everything. Just the opportunity is such a blessing to come down here, play in front of your family. The result's not what we wanted. Definitely hurts a lot, but I appreciate you, Greg, and definitely what we work for and still got to get better.
Tyler, I take no pleasure in asking this, but because we're in the era of the transfer portal, you know your peers move on the minute things don't go well. Are you committed to sticking with this program at least into the winter and into the spring? And if it's a competition, then staying here for the competition.
Of course. I'm going to take what's right in front of me and keep working hard. And there's obviously no decision that's being made, or I'm going to keep control what I can control and work hard this entire offseason, and I'm going to keep proving myself. It seems like a lot of people are going to keep doubting me, and I'm going to keep showing them that what I can do and keep proving myself right, because I know my abilities and I know what I can help and do for this team. And I think that it's going to show, and I know it will show.
Tyler, how important is this offseason going to be for you? Because you did put up some of the best numbers in the Pac-12 this year in multiple categories for a quarterback, and to do it without a spring ball. How big is this offseason going to be for just your development?
It's gonna be everything. I'm gonna completely invest myself into this in this offseason as far as mental, physical, and spiritual. Just because, like I said before, I know what it takes, and I know how much farther I have to go, and how we have to go as a team. So it's only the beginning for sure.
It's been well documented over the weeks coming into this game your relationship with Brock. Did you say anything to him before or after the game, and what was said between you two?
Well, of course, that's my guy. I talked to him after the game, told him that he played a heck of a game, and they executed well on all sides of the ball. I mean, and I told him I was going to see him soon this offseason because, you know, we always train, and he's a great dude, and they have a great family. So hats off to their team. They played well, and they coached better than us and in all phases, offense, defense, special teams. And as far as offense, you know, we got to do better what we can, controlling the ball and creating more explosive plays.
Tyler, I'm just curious. Have you ever been part of a program where you've had a platooning quarterback system? Obviously, I'm not talking about Oregon, but just in general. And is it tough? If so, is it tough to get into a rhythm in that situation?
Yeah, it goes back to high school. I'm no stranger to competing for my job and competing for the team, the team's best interest. So, whatever it is, I'm gonna answer the call. And obviously, you can make a lot of excuses. You're not warm. You haven't thrown in a while. It's hard to get in the rhythm. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when I'm in the game, I'm going to do the best I can to put our team in the best position to win the game. So I know what it takes now, and it's only going to keep getting better.
You know, I know you weren't in a lot the second half, but the first half, whether it was you or Anthony in the game, you seemed to be able to pass the ball at will down the field. In the second half, it seemed like I know there were some turnovers, but it seemed like the passing game just went away. I mean, Devon Williams doesn't get a lot of guys. Just, I don't know. Can you explain? Did they do something differently, Iowa State on defense? Or
No, they played exactly how they were. We expected them to play it, and we just didn't execute well. And that's what it comes down to.
Hey, Tyler, I asked Coach Cristobal the same exact thing. You played against Johnny Johnson in high school. Now he's your teammate. Regardless of whatever decision he's going to make next, what's the impact he's had on you and the legacy he has with this team?
He's probably had the greatest impact on me as far as anybody on this team because of our individual relationship and our work ethic together. Just the amount of hours we put in this offseason and together after practice, grinding through reps in the film room. He's taught me what it is to be a true pro. So I'm extremely thankful to him, and I know whatever decision he's going to make is going to be the best for him, and I'm really proud of him.
Here, there again, a lot of love for Johnny Johnson. I mean, seriously though, everybody, like, that's a tough post-game press conference, and I thought Tyler handled that as well as you can. You know, just a lot of poise. That's leadership, right? Whoever ends up being the starting quarterback, you got to love having a guy like that in your program. Coming up next, Jordan Scott. He is heading to the next level of his life, and why not? A graduate? We're going to hear from him next. Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Back to the Country Financial Studio next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to really volatize it.
What?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's important to buckle up your kids.
I know.
Sometimes car seats can be complicated.
I know.
And if your child's in the wrong seat and you get into a crash...
I know.
It could lead to a serious injury.
I know.
So you're 100% sure you have the right car seat for your child's age and size?
I don't know.
Don't think you know. Know you know. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Make sure you have the right car seat. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Back in the Country Financial Studio, Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Been talking football and hearing from the guys for the last time after what was a tough loss in the Fiesta Bowl. But the last time we'll hear from some of these guys, and one of them, Jordan Scott. Follow him on Twitter. See what he had to say today about what Oregon's meant to him. Well worth your time. And Jordan Scott met with the media after what was a tough loss, and now moving on to the next level of his career, Jordan Scott.
Jordan, you got your first sack tonight for the first time since your freshman year. What was that like to get a sack for your first time in your last game as a Duck?
It was pretty exciting, but we didn't get the result we wanted, so it's like, you know, whatever. But I'm happy I got a sack, though.
Jordan, I know this is you're done at Oregon. I just wanted to ask you to reflect on your career and highlights and just kind of what you remember from your time in Eugene.
Seemed like it was just yesterday when I got there, you know, no visit. No, nothing, just pulled up. So I feel like I'm pretty happy with my decision, and I'm glad I went to Oregon. One of my favorite memories would probably be beating Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. It's my favorite memory.
Jordan, what is next for you in terms of after tonight? I'm sure you see family here when you walk out the building, but are you going back to Florida? Where are you going to train? Have you made these decisions yet in terms of what's next in the next 24, 48 hours?
I'm going to go back to Florida with my family, you know, celebrate our little New Year's, celebrate Christmas with my family. And then from there, probably 2-3 days, pick an agent. And then from there, find out where I'm going to be training and all the logistics of that type stuff.
Hey, I know that it wasn't really ideal as far as a score goes, but how would you feel as you guys did tonight for being on the field for so long? And, you know, kind of in the second half, it kind of seemed like there was a lot of stops and a lot of chances for you guys to get back into the game. Like, how would you just overall rate you guys' game?
I think our overall performance, man, we just kind of flat as a team. We started getting stops later in the game, but you can't start flat against a team with they're a good team. So can't start flat, and then the way we finished wasn't our finish. So I just think the next season and this offseason for Oregon, you know, I know those guys are gonna be working hard, and next season they'll come out and prove what type of team they are and how they want to finish their season.
Jordan, it seems like a lot of issues on third and fourth down, getting off the field and making and forcing them to punt. What happened on those plays?
You know, man, Iowa State does a lot of things, motions and stuff like that. And we knew all 2 weeks preparing for them that is their X factor in their offense is all the motions and moving guys around. And they caught us, and we give them all the credit for that.
Simply, how hard was this year?
2020 was a very hard year for me. I lost my grandma early in the year. Then I lost my auntie later in the year. And then, you know, my family had a little COVID situation, and that was stressing me a little bit. But, you know, football kind of allowed me to take my mind off of those things and just focus on what I love to do. And I'm just happy that we got to play some games. We didn't get a full season in, but, you know, made the most of it. Still Pac-12 champs, though.
Yeah. As you said earlier, you committed to Oregon sight unseen. What would you tell someone that was in that position, or maybe guys that are looking at Oregon after your experience?
Man, I would tell them, man, if you could take a visit, you should. But, you know, I came on the whim of his Oregon, and I know that Phil Knight is there and all of that. So I was just – it was always my dream school anyway, but I never thought I would be able to go. So once I got the offer, it was like, yeah, I'm going. Guys, recruits looking at it, man, you know, I think the biggest thing about Oregon is that family that Coach Cristobal has established there and the hard work that we put in the offseason to get us in games like this. Although we didn't get the outcome, you know, all that work is for a reason. So if you want to come, you want to win, playing big games and win big games, this is the school.
You were among many players on this team who back in August were part of the Players United movement. You've certainly been outspoken at times in your career and college about issues in college football. Yet you talk about how happy you are that there was a season and appreciative of it and amid all the challenges. When you view it all in totality, how glad are you that there was, even with being locked down on the road and not being able to even leave the hotel and have to eat alone and all the things that a lot of us don't get to see, that was part of this deal?
Yeah, man, it was rough. I mean, especially for freshmen, man, I couldn't imagine this being my freshman season, coming in and getting sent home 2 days after showing up and then coming back and then getting sent home again and then coming back. It's a vicious cycle in your mental. So I'm just very thankful that I made it through the season healthy and we had a good season, winning the Pac-12. That was one of our biggest goals. So I'm just happy we got to play, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity.
That's a wise man in Jordan Scott, and boy, we're going to miss him around Eugene, aren't we? I'm going to miss seeing him play. I'm going to miss hearing him talk to the media and doing interviews, and man, I'm just going to miss that guy. There's a lot of those guys on this roster this season. Well, we're going to save a couple other interviews for tomorrow and switch gears, talk a little basketball now, because, I mean, hey, your Cafe M 2-Minute Drill is a pretty darn good one for Oregon men's basketball, and especially with the NCAA announcing that March Madness is going to be in a bubble. The entire 2021 men's basketball championship in Indiana, with the majority of the tournament 67 games taking place in Indianapolis. That announcement coming today from the NCAA. Selection Sunday still scheduled for March 14th. Oh, I have that day circled on the calendar. Selection Sunday is a great day. Plans remain to have the Final Four on April 3rd and 5th with exact preliminary round dates to be determined. So, look, I think we all know that there's going to be a need for flexibility, but I have this idea in my head. You know, we don't do Duck Insider on the Thursday and Friday of the tournament because there's usually a game for the Ducks and it's just wild and everybody wants to watch games and tune in. And I have this idea, though, that, you know, maybe it spreads out a little bit more. Maybe there's a little bit more flexibility needed, and so all of us can just watch basketball all week. I'm in, right? Can we? Maybe? I don't know. We'll find out. This is a historic moment for the NCAA members in the state of Indiana, NCAA President Mark Emmert said. He continued, "We have worked tirelessly to reimagine a tournament structure that maintains our unique championship opportunity for college athletes. The reality of today's announcement was possible thanks to the tremendous leadership of our membership, local authorities, and staff," end quote. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into this, right? So that's going to be interesting to see how NCAA March Madness goes. Chris Duarte named the Pac-12 Player of the Week. The Puerto Plata Dominican Republic native averaging 21 points per game, 50% shooting, 47% from three, by the way, in the Ducks' weekend sweep. Also averaged 4.5 rebounds and 2.5 steals per game. Yeah, he scored 14 points in the second half as the Ducks were able to pull away from Stanford, moving to 3-0. And this was important. If you didn't see the highlight of LJ Figueroa dunking after he missed a three from the top of the key, this is why coaches tell you from a young age to follow your miss and follow your shot. Missed the three, took off down the lane before it even hit the rim, followed it with a dunk and a slam. Ducks went on a 32-15 run after that. That was the key in the game. Ducks are at 19 in the net rankings, Colorado 14, and that's who the Ducks will play coming up on Thursday. And meanwhile, women's basketball, what a game. Without Sedona Prince and Taylor Chavez, Ducks came up just short. A 9-0 run made it interesting, though, at the end to pull within two. Even though they lost, they'll be better from that one against a really good UCLA team. Ducks are currently sitting at 4 in the net rankings for women's basketball that came out today. Your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill, serving Northwest-inspired catering and takeout for your next gathering or meeting. Menus, cafeyum.com. Man, there's a lot to talk about still. It's amazing. You know, we get back on the air, and it always happens, you know, when we take that holiday break with traveling and games and just so many different things. Man, there's always so much that just adds up over time. Quick timeout. When we come back, I want to let you hear a little bit of what Coach Altman had to say after the Ducks moved to 3-0 in Pac-12 play, and then we'll get into a little women's basketball too. Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Talking hoops next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
More Duck Insider coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Everybody buckle up. Mom, 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 mom. Buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Mom, buckle up.
Ice cream?
Everybody buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but you're in control. So only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union, Joey Mack in the Country Financial Studio. Tomorrow on the show, Lisa Peterson, Senior Women's Administrator, will join us talking about Coach Graves' contract extension, and she's on the Women's Basketball Selection Committee. So I'm actually really curious to talk with her about, this is the first year that the net ranking is being used for the women. The men have used it the last couple seasons. And it's also going to be, I think, the most difficult year to figure out what teams' resumes mean. It's wild. So it's going to be a good conversation with her coming up tomorrow. Dana Altman talked with the media for a while after the Ducks moved to 3-0 in conference play against Stanford. Of course, had their game against UCLA postponed, hopefully for, I don't know, an announcement, I hope, soonish. Who knows at this point. But meanwhile, for men's basketball, though, moving to 3-0, I don't think that this team has come anywhere close to their potential yet, and they're still pretty darn good. Coach Altman, I got a chance to talk with him postgame.
Well, Coach, I just want to start first with, I thought the turning point of the game was LJ Figueroa misses a three and then follows it with a big slam. And after that, you guys outscored him 32-15. Just how big was that turning point and LJ's energy for you guys?
Well, without a doubt, very significant. And LJ with those 12 rebounds, you know, I think about 8-minute mark, we had a timeout. I told him, those were down 5 on the boards, which we had been down on the boards the whole night. And we got that turned around, you know, the last 6-7 minutes of the game and end up actually winning the rebounding margin by 1. So no doubt a big play. We kind of got a rhythm going there. The ball was moving a little better. We made some really nice plays for threes. So I thought we did some good things after that. Right. And that energy from a big time play like that, whether it's no matter what sport, somebody makes a big play and gets everybody energized. It's where the crowd, you know, if we'd had a crowd, you know, they would have gone crazy, and you get on a roll with those types of plays.
How about Chris Duarte too, Coach? Again, just really impressive. I think a big reason you guys were able to pull away, 23 points from Chris, and how about 4 steals, couple of blocks too?
No, he gave us some good minutes. He's got to really work on his ball handling. I think he can really become a better playmaker. You know, as I look, I didn't have any assists, you know, and I just think he can become a better playmaker, you know, when he drives and making plays for guys. So I want him to work on his ball handling some. You know, with Will Richardson not in there, our guys have got to handle the ball. You know, Chris has not been expected to handle the ball much. Eric Williams, LJ, those guys all got to become better ball handlers for us to handle pressure.
Good stuff from Dana Altman. And the Ducks are still adjusting to life without Will Richardson. Ball handling, Amari Hardy. It's going to come down to Aaron Estrada sometimes. And if Chris Duarte can start making some plays like that as well, being not just the off-ball guard, bodes well for Oregon, especially against this Colorado team. And yeah, Oregon has struggled on the road at Colorado. We know it. We've talked about it. It's a terrible place to travel to if you're the Ducks. It's just awful. That's going to be a big key because McKinley Wright, running point for Colorado, might be the best point guard in the conference, one of the best in the country. Something's got to give there, right? So he's going to be making plays for Colorado, and I think that's a big key matchup in this game against Colorado. And look, I do really think that Colorado didn't get as many votes toward the upper echelon of the conference in the preseason polls as I thought they would. It was ASU, UCLA, and Oregon who were the top three. I think Colorado can compete up there. I really do. They've got the talent, the experience, and a couple freshmen that have contributed. That's going to be a big game coming up on Thursday. Well, tomorrow we'll continue to recap a little bit more of Oregon football season and look ahead to basketball season. Tip-off Tuesday tomorrow as well. Good to be back in the saddle. Happy New Year, Scott. Happy New Year to Mitchell. Happy New Year, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Whoa, long time no see.
It's me,
the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet.
Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.